A story about Google versus the cable guy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Using the internet instead of cable TV. Apple and Intel are working on it. Now Google, as Marketplace's technology reporter Queen Akim explains.
While traditional TV sets are still dominant in living rooms, more and more people are watching what we think of as TV online. Rebecca Lieb is an analyst at the Altimeter Group.
We're also seeing consumers either unsubscribe from cable or, in the case of millennials, never subscribe to it in the first place.
Lieb says they're still watching, but on services like Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon. And this shift in behavior presents a tremendous opportunity for tech companies because video advertising makes more money than traditional web ads. But Bloomberg Industries analyst Paul Sweeney says it's going to be an uphill climb. That's because the traditional TV business still makes tons of money, and they don't want to give it up.
The Google TVs of the world, the Intels, are going to find it very, very difficult to license content from existing broadcast and cable networks.
U.S. ad sales for traditional TV generate about $60 billion a year. Online video sales, $3 billion. I'm Queen Akim for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. Right now in London, the FT 100 is up 5 points. Dow futures are down, but S&P and NASDAQ futures are up. There's news just now of a surprising fall in housing starts to the lowest level since last August. This suggests contractors are not as excited about the strength of the real estate market compared to economic forecasters. In Greece today, there's a 24-hour general strike to protest an ominous innovation. Under pressure from other Eurozone countries and the International Monetary Fund, the Greek parliament today is voting on whether to send as many as 25,000 government workers into what is blandly called the labor reserve. This is, at best, a kind of job purgatory. The BBC's Europe correspondent, Chris Morris, is in Athens. Good morning, Chris.
Morning.
So, what is this thing, a labor reserve?
What it means is thousands of people are going to be moved from their full-time jobs into this labor reserve where they will try to be redeployed to other jobs. If after a certain amount of time they're not redeployed, then eventually they will lose their temporary salaries and lose their jobs. I've not found anyone who thinks they will emerge from that labor reserve with a job. So it's a slow way of cutting jobs in the public sector.
Now, will there be many private sector jobs awaiting these public sector employees if indeed labor reserve leads to layoff?
I'm afraid there won't be. That's Greece's big problem at the moment. It has the highest unemployment rate in the European Union, 27%. And the problem is there's no sense of any investment. Investors from abroad are worried because people here aren't consuming. If you're not consuming, why do you want to make stuff? And there are really very few jobs. A couple of sectors are doing okay. Tourism, for example, it's big right now in the summer. Lots of people come to the Greek beaches and so forth. But in the winter, the trade virtually disappears. It's very cyclical. And so they're struggling to find any kind of economic growth from anywhere. And that's really the big problem in this whole process of the bailout program. How do you get out of this downward spiral, which Greece has been in for the last few years?
The BBC's Chris Morris in Athens. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Emerald Data Solutions, makers of Board Docs and hosts of eGov Live, the conference for best practices in electronic governance, September 4th through 6th, boarddocs.com. By Arizona State University Online, offering more than 60 undergraduate and graduate online degree programs at radio.asu.edu. And by Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com.
The American labor market still isn't strong enough for many folks to switch jobs, even if they can't stand the one they have. But we came across research showing that once people have settled into a job for a couple of years, women are less likely to leave than men. Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
For a long time, Danielle Maville thought of herself as lucky. She was a creative type working for Etsy, an online marketplace selling handmade and vintage stuff. She had this cute work alias, Danielle XO.
I actually probably should have left probably a year, maybe more than a year before I did. I just really couldn't imagine who I would be if I wasn't Danielle XO.
Her whole identity was tied up with her job, and it wasn't just that. After several years,
I felt like I owed it to the company to be there.
Jessica Bennett isn't surprised to hear that. She's editorial director of Lean In. That's Facebook COO Sheryl Sandberg's foundation. Bennett says women can be extremely loyal. She used to work with guys who regularly put counteroffers in front of their bosses just to get a raise. She couldn't bring herself to do the same.
When you get in a place where you feel like you've come up there, you've been promoted there, or if there have been people who've helped you along the way, you feel committed to them. It's almost like you're in a relationship with them, and you feel guilty in some way leaving.
But date your employer for too long, and it could cost you a lot of money. Danielle Maville got a 38% raise when she finally left Etsy and began a new job. Switching companies is often the best way to get a big salary bump. Dana Britton directs the Center for Women in Work at Rutgers University. She says one important factor keeping women in the same jobs is their kids. She says because there's no national policy on leave or flexible hours, employees with some level of flexibility tend to feel lucky where they are.
They often perceive it as a one-off, right? So this is something that my boss did because they're nice to me, or my supervisor did, or my company did. And so they feel it as a sort of personal benefit. It's not a benefit that's transferable.
Anne Britton says there's another big reason women may want to hang on to what they've got. A recent Pew survey found 40% of mothers are now the main or only breadwinners in their families. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
And the most powerful American in finance is probably Fed Chairman Bernanke, who begins closely watched testimony on Capitol Hill in just over an hour. The most powerful American in personal finance is probably the head of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the agency set up after the last financial collapse. Richard Cordray's official appointment had been held up by the Senate for precisely 2 years. It was finally confirmed by the Senate yesterday as part of a deal over federal appointments and the filibuster. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
There's a new kind of employee manual for government workers. It's not a feel-good story.
You'll read about IRS agents and Veterans Affairs government safety inspectors who did something so catastrophically wrong that they end up in this book.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Freakonomics and failure. We'll have today's business news as well next time on Marketplace from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.